God has rejected Saul as king over Israel because of Saul's disobedience. And he's chosen David instead, and the prophet Samuel has gone and anointed David to be the future king over Israel. Don, can you turn this down just a little bit? It seems really hot. I was waiting to see if anyone laughed at the hot part of it. Thank you, Don. And even though David has gone out and he has saved Israel from Goliath and from the Philistine armies, Saul becomes extremely jealous of David. And then Saul's son, Jonathan, he creates a covenant friendship, a lifelong loyal friendship with David. And so Saul goes out on a number of occasions. He tries to kill David. But God protects David from these different attempts by Saul to have him killed. And then Saul goes and he pursues David even to Ramah, where David has gone to meet with Samuel. And then David fled from Ramah to go and try to find Saul's son, Jonathan. And together they devise a plan to find out whether this was true, that Saul was trying to have David killed. And if it was true, how Jonathan could go and warn David. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture. Again, if you need to sit down through part of it, that is perfectly fine. 1 Samuel chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, it reads like this. Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah, and he went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me?" "Never," Jonathan replied. "You are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without letting me know. Why would he hide this from me? It isn't so." But David took an oath and said, "Your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said to himself, 'Jonathan must not know this, or he will be grieved.' Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death." Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you." So David said, "Look, tomorrow is the new moon feast, and I am supposed to dine with the king. But let me go and hide in the field until the evening of the day after tomorrow. If your father misses me at all, tell him, 'David earnestly asked me permission to hurry to Bethlehem, his hometown, because an annual sacrifice is being made there for his whole clan.' If he says, 'Very well,' then your servant is safe. But if he loses his temper, you can be sure that he is determined to harm me. As for you, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord. If I am guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father?" "Never," Jonathan said. "If I had the least inkling that my father was determined to harm you, wouldn't I tell you?" David asked, "Who will tell me if your father answers you harshly?" "Come," Jonathan said, "let's go out into the field." So they went there together. Then Jonathan said to David, "I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, that I will surely sound out my father by this time the day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed towards you, will I not send you word and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon feast. You will be missed because your seat will be empty. The day after tomorrow, toward the evening, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began and wait by the stone Ezel. I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I am shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy and say, 'Go find the arrows.' If I say to him, 'Look, the arrows are on the side of you, bring them here,' then come, because as surely as the Lord lives, you are safe. There is no danger. But if I say to the boy, look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go, because the Lord has sent you away. And about the matter you and I discussed, remember the Lord is witness between you and me forever. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon feast came, the king sat down to eat. He sat in his customary place by the wall opposite Jonathan, and Abner sat next to Saul. But David's place was empty. Saul said nothing that day, for he thought something must have happened to David to make him ceremonially unclean. Surely he is unclean. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to his son Jonathan, why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered, David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town and my brother has ordered me to be there. If I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away to see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan, and he said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. On the second day of the feast, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. In the morning, Jonathan went to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him, and he said to the boy, run and find the arrows I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out after him, isn't the arrow beyond you? And then he shouted, hurry, go quickly, don't stop. The boy picked up the arrow and returned it to his master. The boy knew nothing about all this, only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said, go, carry them back to town. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. Thank you. You may all be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Okay, Glenna, if you move under a fan, it'll be a little bit cooler. Okay. Now, whoever said that you can't buy friends, they did not know about the shallow shortcuts that we have in our internet age. There was an article that was published in the Hemisphere magazine and explored a number of sites that are dedicated to helping you find friends online. These companies, they will create fake users, or they will find real account holders and get them to follow you and to like you on these various social media sites. Get this. For instance, there's one site, it's called sociallyup.com. And you can buy 500 likes for $30. If you want 20,000 likes, it would only cost you $699. For a mere $10, FanMeNow will find you 1,000 Twitter followers. For $1,750, you can buy 1 million followers. If you need to beef up your views for your YouTube video, for $150, you can buy 30,000 views from a site that is called 500views.com. For $3,100, they will make your video go viral by getting you 1 million views. And then the article concludes with this following advice. No matter what social network you're on, you can buy your way to popularity. After killing Goliath and saving the people of Israel from the Philistines, David, his popularity grew. He was becoming more and more popular. But as David became more popular, Saul's popularity decreased. And that caused Saul great fear. And Saul tries to kill David on a number of occasions, but God protects David from Saul. David attempts to get away, and he goes to see Samuel in Ramah. But Saul even follows David all the way there. And so it's clear in David's mind that Saul is determined to kill him. And so David fled back to Gibeah to try to find Saul's son, Jonathan, who is his very dear friend. And that is where our scripture is this morning, as we look at this plan that is devised and this warning that Jonathan gives to David about Saul's determination to kill him. The very first thing we see is the causes for David's fear. Saul's become extremely jealous of David's popularity. Saul tries to kill him, throwing a spear at him 3 different times. Once he even tried to have David killed by sending him out to fight against the Philistines. Saul then sends messengers to try to kill David, but Michal, who is David's wife, helps to lure him through the window and help him to escape. David goes to Ramah. Saul sends messengers 3 different times to go and to capture David and to bring him back. And when that fails, finally out of frustration, Saul goes himself, and yet he is not able to capture David either. The problem with all that, the problem that is taking place, was that David was convinced that Saul was trying to kill him. David fled from Naoth to Ramah. He went to Jonathan and he asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me?" But you see, at this point in time, Jonathan's not convinced that Saul is determined to kill David. Jonathan replies and says, "Never. You're not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without telling me about it. Why would he keep this from me?" Now, Jonathan's belief that his father was not trying to kill David is actually quite astonishing when you think about it. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, we actually read that Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all the servants that they should go and kill David. But some time has passed since then. We don't know how much time, but time has passed. And Jonathan may have believed that his father has settled down, his father has cooled off a little bit, and that he no longer wishes to harm David. And so David, he suggests a way to see if Saul is still determined to kill him. The next day is the new moon, and David would have been expected to sit at the table with the king. And if Saul asked about David, Jonathan was to say that David's in Bethlehem with his family. If Saul is happy with that answer, then Jonathan would know that Saul no longer means any harm to David. But if Saul goes and he gets angry, then Jonathan would know without a shadow of a doubt that Saul is still determined to kill David. And then David asked the question, "Well, who's going to tell me if your father answers you harshly?" And so David and Jonathan, they go out into the field together and they come up with this promise, this plan, and there's this promise. Jonathan promises to warn David about his father's plans. Jonathan made a commitment to indicate that he knew that David had been chosen by God to succeed Saul as the next king over Israel. In verse 13, the second part, Jonathan says, "May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father." Now, of course, at this time, Jonathan knows that David has now been selected, that God had been with Saul, who was his father, earlier, but has left him now. Jonathan knew that David would replace his father, Saul, as the next king over Israel. And then Jonathan goes and he asks David not to kill him or his family. He says, show me unfailing kindness, like the Lord's kindness, as long as I live, so that I may not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. You see, it was common back then that when a king ascended to the throne, that he would kill off all of his opponents so that they would not continue to threaten his kingship. Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. That was an agreement that Jonathan and David, a covenant that they had made earlier. And then our scripture today in verse 16 and 17, Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him because he loved him as himself. It was a covenant loyalty, a covenant of friendship that was between Jonathan and David. And then they go and they devise a plan. They come up with a plan that David would hide out in the field by this stone heap that was out there. Jonathan would find a way to warn David with a prearranged signal. He would shoot some arrows and tell the boy who was helping him to go and find the arrows. And if he told the boy that the arrows were beyond him, then David would know that Saul was still determined to kill him and that he should flee. Finally, Jonathan reminded David of their covenant to each other, this agreement that they had made to each other. He says, about the matter you and I discussed, remember, the Lord is witness between you and me. And the New Living Testament, it puts it this way, and may the Lord make us keep our promises to each other, for he has witnessed them. And then there comes the confirmation of David's fears. And there's three things that take place that confirm his fears. The very first is David's absence from the table. See, on the first day of the new moon, when David was absent from the meal, Saul did not say anything. He just thinks something's happened to David to make him ceremonially unclean. But on the second day, when David was still absent, Saul asked where David was at, and so Jonathan tells his father that David is in Bethlehem. Now, this was not true. You see, it really was not necessary for Jonathan to lie, but he did. It was an agreement. It was a plan that they had devised together. And that answer flared up Saul's anger, and that is the second confirmation of David's fears. Saul flew into a furious rage when he heard that David was not going to attend the feast. And he questions his son, and Jonathan questions his father and says, why should he be put to death? What has he done? And in response to that question, Saul hurls his spear at his own son, Jonathan, trying to kill him. And it was at that moment that Jonathan knew without a shadow of a doubt that his father, Saul, intended to kill David and would never stop. The third confirmation of David's fears were the arrows that Jonathan shot. See, in accordance with their plan, the next morning, Jonathan takes a young boy with him and they go out into the field and he shoots some arrows and he says to the boy, aren't the arrows beyond you? And Jonathan called out and he said, hurry, go quickly. Don't stop. Now the boy, he knew nothing at all about this plan. He just went and got the arrows. And then he gets the boy and he sends the boy back to town with his weapons, his bow and his arrow, sends the boy back to town. And it was only then, when Jonathan and David were alone out in the field, that David comes out from behind that stone heap. Jonathan and David, they kissed one another, they wept, because they knew that from that day on, David would continually be on the run from Saul. He would never be able to rest. The rest of his life, David would be a fugitive from Saul. In fact, Jonathan and David, they only met one other time, many years later, just before Jonathan's untimely death. So Jonathan says to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" And then David left, and Jonathan went back to town. The New Living Testament puts it this way. It says, "At last, Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, for we have sworn loyalty to each other in the Lord's name.'" The Lord is witness of the bond between us and our children forever. And then David left and Jonathan returned home. You see, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we see the plan and the warning that Jonathan was willing to give to David. You see, Jonathan, he was loyal to David because he knew that God had called David and had anointed David. He chose loyalty to David over loyalty to his own father. Jonathan understood that God's future kingdom, it lay with David and not with his father Saul. Jonathan chose a covenant loyalty to David, the God-anointed future king of Israel, over loyalty to his father. Jonathan is probably the closest example of what Jesus meant when he says in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." You see, Jonathan's loyalty to David over his loyalty to his father, it should be a picture of our loyalty to Jesus. We need to put Jesus first. Be committed to him very foremost. Let us always choose loyalty to Jesus over loyalty to anyone else.